York. Very pleased to have, yes, Jack said, a big Army football fan who's had, really, as we find so often, almost, you know, all the time at West Point, an extraordinary career of service, 30 years in the United States Army, program manager at DARPA, professor at West Point, and now teaching and director of the Cybersecurity Initiative at Texas A&M, and that is our friend Colonel Daniel Ragsdale. Colonel, how are you today?
Ken, I'm great. Always a pleasure to chat.
Oh, it's always good to have you as a guest. And, you know, you've done some extraordinary things along the path of your career, as I just outlined. Maybe if you would, just tell us a little bit about your career. You've fought for the United States in the Army overseas and taught and done so many important things along the line of cybersecurity. Maybe you could just give us a little overview.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ken. You're very kind. I did have the great privilege to serve 30 years at the Army. Started out as an infantry officer, and after a couple of assignments, including being able to deploy with the 82nd Air Grenade way back in '83, the Army decided they wanted me to focus more on computers and information technologies, and I had the opportunity to go to grad school, ultimately return to West Point and served on the faculty there, and then for the majority of my career from that point forward, I served in roles that involved research and development associated with information technologies, and later on mostly focused on cybersecurity. The last 15 years of my Army career nearly were spent at West Point as an academy professor and a vice dean for education, again, primarily focused on cybersecurity education. I did get the great honor and privilege to deploy two more times, once to Iraq and once to Afghanistan. In Iraq, I was the deputy commander of a 2,500-person task force that did the base defense and base operations mission for the largest coalition base in the world at that time. After my retirement from the Army, I was able to join DARPA. And for those that are not familiar with the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, that is an agency formed back in the late 50s. It was created by President Eisenhower, and frankly, in response to the Sputnik surprise, we were caught flat-footed by the capability that the Soviet Union was able to bring to bear. They created DARPA with the explicit purpose of preventing and creating strategic surprise in the future, primarily focused on the Department of Defense. And some of what's come out of there, interesting things like the Internet itself was first conceived and developed at DARPA. Because it's a defense agency, not surprising, things like stealth technologies and precision-guided munitions and reactive armor also came out of there. But maybe surprisingly, there's some extraordinary advances in robotics, in GPS miniaturization, in voice recognition. So Siri was a company that was originally formed to respond to a DARPA challenge. And finally, self-driving vehicles. That's another area that DARPA pioneered and has now, you know, become somewhat mainstream.
And, you know, there's a great book out that I read recently, The Pentagon's Brain by Annie Jacobson about DARPA. And one of the things they talked about was in Afghanistan, Iraq, they worked on obviously trying to build relationships with the citizens there. And they brought in a number of sociology professors to work on that. And that was, you know, kind of the other side of, sometimes they say, high tech, high touch. Seemed to be a very important initiative by DARPA.
Yeah, so that's what DARPA is able to do. Again, people might be surprised. You would think DARPA was overrun with current or former military. In my office, and there's only six offices, I was the only former military in the office. So the people that come to the challenges that the Army and the Navy, the Air Force, Marines have from a different perspective, and their challenge to bring innovation and new thinking and you know, leap ahead technologies. And when in an environment like that, what you generally find is, like you mentioned with this initiative that where they brought sociologists to bear, we've actually got some really interesting innovation that would not, frankly, have come out of a traditional program management office requirements-driven, for example, that you find in the Department of Defense acquisition processes.
Absolutely. Now, if you would, tell us about your move to Texas A&M University and your responsibilities there as director of the Cybersecurity Initiative.
Absolutely. So during my time at DARPA, because of my experience focusing on cybersecurity topics during the tail end of my career in the Army, I was brought there to run cybersecurity projects, primarily, frankly, classified initiatives. And what I the only thing I'll say about those initiatives is the United States has formidable capability. I think that's suffice to say. Given that I was focused on cybersecurity here at Texas A&M, and just to give people appreciation for the immense enterprise that Texas A&M is, it is actually a system of schools. So there's the flagship campus here in College Station, 55,000 undergraduate students, and about half again as much graduate students. And all in, the system is 11 universities on 13 campuses, nearly 140,000 students altogether. So it's a huge enterprise. They decided at the system level that they wanted to focus on cybersecurity because of the critical importance it is for national security, for national and economic security, and because of the great deal of interest on the part of industry and, frankly, our students as they join us are beating down the doors, almost literally, it seems that way sometimes, to study cybersecurity topics. So they brought me in to run the Cybersecurity Center, focus on expanding on and building on the firm foundation we had in place to do new curriculum initiatives and to facilitate sponsored research by some of our world-class faculty here at A&M. And we've really moved the needle. We have made some tremendous progress, and I think we are on our way to achieving our goal of having A&M move to the forefront of cybersecurity research and education. And related to DOD, because I have somewhat of a bias, I'll acknowledge, I would like for A&M to be a pipeline, an absolute pipeline of talented young men and women that either want to receive a commission in one of the uniformed services or serve as civilians in DOD or federal positions, or frankly, for that matter, in industry, because we all win if we have more skilled workforce focusing on cybersecurity topics, because secure and interconnected systems benefit everyone.
Absolutely. Hey, Colonel, a question we asked another West Point grad a couple of weeks ago is funding for the Army. The Army downsized in recent years, but has had less soldiers to send out to all sorts of missions. What would be some of the areas, as a 30-year veteran, that you'd like to see more resources available to support the U.S. Army?
Well, look, clearly, much like the Navy's in the press over in recent days, there's been a lot of deferred maintenance, and that puts us at a readiness risk. We just simply can't afford to have systems that are not capable of being available in the advent of a crisis. And also, it causes us to train at a lower op tempo, and we need to If you look at the current circumstances, the worldwide stability requires that, or instability requires that our military be prepared on moment's notice to act on behalf of the people.
Absolutely.
Of the country.
Colonel, we got to run. Thank you so much for your time today, and we look forward to seeing you very soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Ken. Always a pleasure.
Okay, Colonel Daniel Ragsdale from Texas A&M.